I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management, members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that the meeting is being recorded and will be made available on the City of Melbourne's website before close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council business team after the meeting. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned to silent for the duration of the meeting? The agenda comprises 6 reports from management. Apologies have been received from Councillors Louis and Sullivan. I advise members of the committee and the public that where the committee makes the decision on the basis of fewer than 6 members voting in favour, the decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by committee, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. May I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 15 held on Tuesday the 20th of June. Deputy Lord Mayor, is that seconded? Councillor Oak, I'll put that motion. For those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Are there any matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting? I beg your pardon? All I can do is speak into the microphone, sorry. That's, you know, I can only speak into the amplification. The following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code. In relation to Agenda Item 6.2, Ministerial Referral 57 to 63 Exhibition Street, Melbourne, requests to speak from Phil Gleeson, and an item of correspondence from Kristen Whittle. In relation to Agenda Item 6.4, 204 to 208 King Street, requests to speak from Mark Ellenbrook and Renee Spurs. In relation to Agenda Item 6.5, City of Melbourne's submission of the Westgate Tunnel Project, requests to speak from Fran Araneda and John Widmer, and items of correspondence from Fran Araneda and John Widmer. Could I advise submitters that you're invited to address the committee at the time the relevant agenda item is considered? You have 3 minutes to address the committee. We adhere to that 3-minute time limit. Normally, of course, we're in the committee room. Here in the Swanson room, there is a bell that will signify that 2 minutes have elapsed. You have 1 minute to conclude your address, and then the bell sounds again at the end of 3 minutes. In accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code, a 15-minute period is provided at the beginning and end of this meeting for members of the public to ask questions. Questions should not be greater than 90 seconds in duration. I remind members of the public this is not the time to make submissions. Submitters are invited to address the committee at the time the relevant agenda item is considered. Would anyone like to ask us a question? In that case, could I call on Councillor Rees to assume the role of Chair in relating to the planning portfolio?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. There are 4 reports from management for consideration under the planning portfolio. First of those is Agenda Item 6.1, West Melbourne Structure Plan, draft for consultation. Would councillors like a presentation on this matter? No. Okay. Well, in that case, I will call on a councillor to move the motion, and I will do that as the... I don't believe there are speakers, councillor. Thanks for the suggestion. I would call on a councillor to second the motion now that I've moved it. Thank you, councillor Leppert. So I will speak to the motion. Look, one of the first public events I did as a newly elected councillor was to attend one of the community consultation events that was held by the City of Melbourne in West Melbourne around the West Melbourne Structure Plan. I was delighted to see about 200 people turn up to that and learn that this was one of several events of this kind, and was a reflection, or showed me just the huge degree of interest there has been in the community around West Melbourne about the future of their suburb. They're obviously a suburb who are concerned about the development that they're seeing around them, the pressure that they're on from population and business development, and they've also seen developments in the area like the 130-metre tower on Dudley Street, which was approved by the former planning minister, Matthew Guy. I'm pleased to report that this draft plan really does mark, I think, a new high point in urban strategy and planning for this city, and contains some very, very clever aspects to it, including floor area ratios coupled with design objectives to provide guidance to what sort of development the city is looking for, the use of special use zones reflecting the fact that this is a part of the city which we want to continue to see be used for a place of business for people, but also other residential and other activities. I would stress that this plan is a draft, and there will now be a six-week consultation process that the city will go through with the final structure plan approved later this year. Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Chair, and apologies for the inadvertent backseat chairing. I agree with you, this is really is a high point. I've in the previous council been heavily involved in the implementation, of course, of the Arden, Macaulay and City North structure plans, and those have been a very interesting journey as the city has undertaken to replan those urban renewal areas. West Melbourne is not an urban renewal area in the Municipal Strategic Statement, but of course it is undergoing intense redevelopment at the moment, and there are going to be ongoing development pressures on West Melbourne that requires a lot of very, very careful planning from government. And compared to those previous structure plans, I would say that the level of policy rigour, the policy detail and the sheer comprehensiveness of the draft that we have before us really is above and beyond what we've seen before, and I sincerely thank all of our strategic planners for putting their heads together and producing what the Chair has said, some very clever suggestions, and I certainly agree with that. The special use zoning has been talked about, as has the FAR control. Locals are feeling stressed about the level of development in the area, particularly when it comes to the uncertainty of the controls that currently exist. The discretionary height limits don't mean a lot to the lay reader when someone comes along in a four-storey area proposing an eight-storey development, but of course is often approved. I think the FAR proposal is a very clever suggestion. It will provide a density cap that developers will need to work within, and so the planning process will be one that is concentrated on design, negotiating around design rather than a game of developers seeing how they can get the best possible deal in a purely discretionary area. So I think the FAR proposal in particular, whilst it's complicated and unusual and will need a lot of explaining to the locals to explain the benefits of it, is a very nifty approach, and I'm looking forward to having that discussion with the community. But as you said, Chair, this is just going out for consultation now, and we're going to have plenty of debates on West Melbourne structure plan and the resulting planning scheme amendments that will fall out of that structure plan in future years. So I'm looking forward to that consultation process and those future debates. But I just end by thanking the officers for producing what is a remarkable document.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard. Are there any speakers against the motion? Any further speakers for the motion? Okay, well, in that case, I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. I declare that motion carried unanimously. The next agenda item is 6.2, which is a ministerial referral, TPM 2014-43, covering the property 57-63 Exhibition Street, Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? The answer to that looks to be no. So I believe we have... Yeah, I now call on Phil Gleeson from Urbis, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. Sorry, is that on? Hello? Yep, got me. Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak on this agenda item tonight. Phil Gleeson is my name. I'm from Mirbus and we're the planning consultants acting on behalf of the proponent. As this committee is aware, this matter or application was before the Future Melbourne Committee on the 21st of March, at which time there was a pending VCAT decision for a matter in Flinders Lane at number 32 to 44. I guess on the basis of that VCAT decision, we fully understand the recommendation that's been made by the officers to reduce the height to 183 metres as along with other conditions of permit. I won't go into too much detail with respect to, I guess, the proposal because it's been addressed through that March meeting. But I guess as a proponent, we've been working very closely with the council officers and the department over a significant period of time. In fact, this application was first lodged with the department back in August of 2014. So we've come a long way to get to this point here. We're very proud of where we've got to with respect to the architectural design, the positivity with respect in terms of the architectural excellence, the public contribution in terms of the upgrade of Strawn Lane and the connection with Chester Lane. And on that basis, we respectfully request that the Future Melbourne Committee this evening support the recommendation of the officers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phil. I, as Chair of Planning, will move the motion and I call for a councillor to second the motion. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I assume there's no questions for Phil.
Just letting you know to sit down.
Okay. Thank you, Phil, for your wonderful presentation. Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Thank you, Phil, for the presentation. This is a very special part of the city. It's the top end of Collins Street and surrounds, and therefore, this is a part of the city where we really do want to see the best in terms of what this city can produce in terms of development. And in that respect, this development proposal has a lot to like about it. I think the design that Bates Smart have come up with is terrific, and the use of the podium is consistent with the historic buildings along the street and fits well in the context of the surrounds. What you've done with the laneways is also very, very clever, and the use of hotel, residential and some office is consistent with what the city is looking for in that part of the city. Obviously, there's been an issue around height. This development did begin as a 220-metre proposal. It then came down to 203 metres. And then, the council here is supporting, it's been put to council to support recommendation for 183 metres. That reduced height will result in a shadow length over Birrung Ma that is consistent with the minister's approval of 32 Flinders Street, which was recently upheld by VCAT. And so while there will be some overshadowing of Birrung Ma, the lower terrace will be protected. And that's a good thing for Birrung Ma and a good thing for the city. So taking all those things into account, I have no hesitation in supporting the recommendations of officers on this proposal. Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Chair. I agree there's a lot to like about this application. I spoke at the 21st of March Future Melbourne Committee about those aspects, including the treatment of the podium. And of course, since then, we've had that VCAT decision. The reasons for the decision are pretty fascinating reading. The members took a site visit to Birrung Ma and wax lyrical about all of the people they saw enjoying the sunshine when they did visit. That was the basis for their decision to uphold the minister's decision for 32 Flinders Street. It's important to note, I think, that that was an appeal of the conditions by the applicant, and it wasn't really open to VCAT to knock even more height off. It was just questioning that condition, and it upheld that condition. I just note that there still is some overshadowing of Birrung Ma, and it certainly would be open to the Minister off the back of a remarkable VCAT decision backed up with very strong reasons to really make sure that Birrung Ma, not just the lower terrace in September and April, but all of the area that is enjoyed by the public is not unduly affected by overshadowing of the tower. Be very interested to see where he lands on that, but certainly the decision before us is consistent with VCAT, but the Minister has more scope again, but I do support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other speakers against, or are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any other speakers for the motion? Okay, well, in that case, I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. I declare the motion carried unanimously. The next agenda item is agenda item 6.4, planning permit TP 2016-1105 for 20... Oh, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself there. Agenda item 6.3, TP 2010-692B, 28-30 Darling Street, East Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No? Okay, well, I, as Chair of Planning, happy to move this motion. I call on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Leppard, thank you very much. Look, I'll speak very briefly to this matter. It's not very often that councillors come to find themselves supporting a motion which involves the demolition of a B-graded heritage wall in the city, but in this case we are, and certainly I will support it. The reason being that the City of Melbourne has received a structural engineer's report which finds that the bricks in this building have 0.01% of the strength of a standard brick, and this therefore is a public safety problem, and if there's going to be development on the site for public safety and for further development, that wall needs to be demolished and then rebuilt to the specifications as closely as possible as exists there as present. So noting those matters, I support the motion. Councillor Leppard? Nothing to add. Any speakers for the motion? Any speakers against the motion? Okay, in that case, I will put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hands. I declare the motion carried unanimously. Okay, now we're on to agenda item 6.4, planning permit application TP 2016-1105 for 204-208 King Street, Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No? Okay, well, in that case, I will now call Mark Ellenbroke from SJB Planning, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Welcome, Mark.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you, councillors, for the opportunity to say a few words this evening on behalf of the permit applicant. I'd first like to start by also thanking the officers for their cooperative and constructive approach to their consideration and assessment of this application. This application for the site, originally lodged back in December last year, proposed to redevelop the site in its entirety, given the absence of a heritage overlay control on the land affording any protection to the existing building on the site. Following receipt of feedback from the council and a number of interested members of the public, the applicant agreed to consider the possibility of retaining the street facades of the existing Greater Western Hotel and incorporating them into the design of the new development. The applicant engaged with council officers on a number of occasions during the assessment to work constructively through the detail of the proposed design response. This process has resulted in a proposal that has been put forward to the consideration, or for the consideration of the committee this evening, a proposal that now seeks to retain some of the heritage fabric of the existing hotel building. Retention of the facades has limited the ability to deliver apartments on levels 1 and 2, as was originally proposed. However, instead, the proposal now includes 2 levels of long-term office space, which has the benefit of enhancing the diversity of uses within the building. In our view, and it's a view supported in the officer's report of recommendation tonight, the proposed design skillfully incorporates the retained heritage fabric into a contemporary, elegant development which demonstrates considered detailing and a fantastic architectural quality. Apartments within the development achieve very high levels of internal quality and amenity, evidenced by the extent of compliance with the newly adopted Better Apartment Design Standards. Inclusion of a ground floor retail tenancy together with sympathetic alterations to the retained hotel facade will provide an enhanced sense of activity to the pedestrian environment. And benchmark standards of environmentally sustainable design are also met. Tonight, the applicant respectfully requests that the committee give consideration in its decision-making to its preparedness to work constructively with the council to achieve a positive, high-quality and balanced built form outcome, particularly in circumstances where no planning control exists that would have obliged the applicant to retain components of the valued existing building. We consider that a positive outcome has been reached, and we hope the committee shares that view. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Councillor Watts.
I'm looking at the... Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm just wondering that there's actually very little, isn't there, on the at ground level that refers to the heritage at all. I mean, we're already dealing with just a facade, which is better than we had before, but is there any reason that vestige of interesting brickwork or blockwork couldn't be enhanced further?
Through you, Mr. Chair.
Sure, Mark.
Are you referring, Councillor, to the retained portions of the building
or, yes.
or the portions of the new building either side of that?
No, well, the first floor, the ground level.
So the proposal seeks to increase some of the openings in the existing ground level facade to make it more suitable for a retail activity rather than the existing hotel use. I believe there is a proposed condition which seeks to incorporate a little more solidity within that ground level presentation than is shown on the image that you're referring to. So I think the council officers in their recommendation have probably acknowledged your question.
Good.
And certainly we accept that condition as being appropriate.
Thank you.
Are there any council officers who want to respond to that point at all? No? No?
Sorry, is it possible for one of our officers just to confirm that point? Is that what you're...
Thanks, councillors, through you, Chair. Yes, we've worked closely with the applicant to ensure there's a balance between the future ground use and glazing at ground level. And we note that the existing heritage building had a large degree of alteration at ground level. So we've seen it as an appropriate compromise between the design of the building and the future use of that asset, as well as the overall retention at ground and first floor level.
All right, thank you, Evan. If there are no more, if there are no more questions from Mark, we'll allow him to return to his seat. Thank you very much for that presentation. We've got one more speaker, so I now call on Renee Spores from the Melbourne Heritage Action, who requested the opportunity to address the committee. And you have 3 minutes. Thank you, Renee.
The Great Western Hotel, so it's certainly not the prettiest pub you've ever laid eyes on. Perhaps this is why it was overlooked during the last major CBD heritage review in the 80s, but despite its simple lines and its rather drab colour scheme, it's still one of the CBD's oldest buildings. Over 60 objections to its demolition demonstrate that the community does not want the Great Western to go the same way as the Corkman Hotel, which went under the wrecking ball last year. Now, the lack of heritage controls could well have seen this occur. Melbourne Heritage Action is grateful for the council's efforts, and particularly those of Councillor Rees, in seeking a compromise with the developers. We'd also like to acknowledge further instances where council has provided assistance in seeking the retention of facades of unprotected heritage buildings, such as the well-preserved Art Deco facade at 35 City Road, Southbank, and the Victorian coach builders at 50 La Trobe Street. So whilst an ideal outcome is always to retain or integrate heritage buildings into new developments, where there is a lack of form protection a sensitive restoration of a building's facade is to be preferred to demolition. In the present case, Melbourne Heritage Action believes there is a fantastic opportunity to provide a positive outcome for both the developer and the community who clearly want this grand old lady to be treated with the respect she deserves. Whilst we acknowledge this application cannot be rejected on heritage grounds, we would make the following recommendations regardless. Rather than paint the facade white, strip the current paint to reveal historically correct blue stone and render, or at least a more appropriate colour scheme than that which is proposed. Secondly, restore the shop front to its original Victorian grandeur, as you can see in the 1930s drawing on the presentation there. The addition on the left is a 1920s shop front, which we would have no objection in having the proposed opening. Third recommendation would be to extend the office wall to the retained facade, rather than having the wall sit behind it. And fourthly, set back the second floor slightly to separate the tower from the facade to allow it to better represent the building that used to stand there. Again, we would like to thank the council for their support in this matter and would welcome further discussions with the council or the developers to ensure a positive heritage outcome for the Great Western Hotel. Thank you.
Thanks, Renee. Okay, Chair of Planning, I'm happy to move this motion and call on a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppart. I'll speak briefly to the motion. Look, I support the motion. I'd also, I guess, up front like to acknowledge the tremendous amount of work that's been done by council officers to get this project to this point. There's been a lot of meetings, a lot of options discussed, and with, I guess, what we've been able to achieve is something that represents a compromise and something which I certainly believe is a much better result for the city than what was there previously or was proposed previously. We've managed to get to an outcome that preserves the heritage fabric and will also see a development of good quality proceed on the site. I'd also like to single out DKO Architecture, who work quite cooperatively with us, and also to Mark, who's here tonight from SJB Planning, who played a vital role as a go-between between the investor, developer, architect, City of Melbourne. And so, taking all things into consideration, I think this is a very good outcome for the city. Councillor Leppart.
Thank you, Chair. I support all of those comments wholeheartedly. As has been acknowledged, 100% more heritage fabric has been retained than the planning scheme requires. And of course, there's going to be more calls and more concerns about the extent to which heritage fabric has been retained, but there is no overlay, and therefore the heritage policy doesn't apply at all. I think some of the issues that have been raised as way of suggestion are probably unable to be made by condition by councillors here because there is no heritage overlay and therefore we can't reach for any, you know, planning tools in the scheme to require any changes. The one exception might be the colour could potentially be dealt with through secondary consent, but again, that is not something that we have the ability to direct by way of condition here, nor would it be appropriate for us to do that. I think it's important to note that even if there was a heritage overlay on the site, the policy would be very difficult to require the retention of more than just the facade, possibly a little bit of depth, but given this is the middle of the city and there is a lot of development potential for the site, even if there was a heritage overlay, we'd still be looking at an instance of facadism. That, I'm not saying that definitely, I'm saying that that's likely. And so I understand that there are people who would like more retained, but it's not, you know, going to be a pub forever. The landowner has rights to change the use, and in the capital city zone, most uses are as of right. And so all I can do at this stage is sincerely thank the developer and officers for working together so constructively, as the Chair has said, to come to an outcome that goes far above and beyond anything that the scheme requires in terms of heritage. So I do add my thanks to that of Councillor Rees for this outcome. I think on the whole, going back to the issues that we can consider in the scheme, this is a very elegant design. It certainly meets the density controls that have been introduced for the central city, and I think the interface with the streetscape as proposed by DKO is very good. So I do support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard. Are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any further speakers for the motion? Councillor Riley.
Look, I welcome this particular application because in my eyes it ticks a lot of boxes. The facade is one thing, but the retail element at that end of town is so critical for a part of the city that doesn't have good, strong retail. It has office, commercial space, which is something that we've welcomed because we didn't want too much residential, but having the opportunity to have one or two floors of office space will help. And the fact that it also has the dwellings above it, and I believe it's a very worthy application, and I support it.
Any other speakers? Councillor Lee Lu.
Thanks, Chair. And look, I'm actually really impressed with how where it's the original to where it is now. And you know, and the Great Western Hotel is a classic. And you know, when you hear that it's been knocked down to, you know, put apartments in there, it's you get that feeling. But I think all credit has to go to Councillor Rees for the negotiation. I guess for me, you know, the fact that you know where you know the previous business there was the pub, you know, and they losing, you know, I read the story about how they're losing the business, but yet what we're gaining now is actually more business in terms of the commercial space and also the retail down there. So there's actually we've actually increased on something that was already existing. I think it's also great that we were able to retain the facade and the majority of the I guess look of the hotel. So. It's an incredible achievement by the team and also yourself, Councillor Rees. So I just got to put that on board. It's a very impressive work.
Thank you. Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Chair. Notwithstanding the higher elements of the building, I guess listening to the excellent submission from the Melbourne Heritage Action Group and seeing the images of what once was there and the heritage that we would like to protect in the city, but obviously we can't because there wasn't an overlay. I guess what I was concerned about hearing was that there was a lot of mention and respect and congratulations to everyone involved for the huge amount of effort it took to get us to a point tonight where we're just, you know, yes, it's a facade and we're respecting the heritage of the city. I think it's quite sad and actually it's annoying to me that it takes so much effort to get developers to respect the city. And the city's heritage. Yes, there's no protection. There's nothing we can do about the heritage overlay not being there, but it is actually quite a sorry state if we are congratulating everyone involved for the huge amount of work it's taken just to get respect for what the heritage is in the city. And when we don't have protection, I think, you know, it would be great if the starting point at least included some semblance of respect to the heritage in the city.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Are there any other speakers for or against the motion? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hands. I declare the motion carried unanimously. I now call on Councillor Francis Gillie to assume the role of chair of the meeting in relation to the transport portfolio.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. There is one report from management for consideration under the transport portfolio, agenda item 6.5, City of Melbourne's submission to the Westgate Tunnel project. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Okay. I now call on Fran Araneda, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Fran?
Thank you. My name is Fran Araneda and I am representing the Kensington Association. The Kensington Association over the last couple of weeks has been working on its own submission for the ES in relation to the Westgate Tunnel project. The association has some serious concerns with the project, and in particular the component of the project that is described as port, city link and city connections. Our concerns are largely centred around the increase in traffic, increase in noise and the detrimental impact to the Munis Ponds Creek. In particular, we feel that not enough has been done to mitigate the negative impacts on the Munis Ponds Creek and also the open space proposed as a mitigant is grossly inadequate. To that effect, at its July meeting, the association passed a motion which fully supports the City of Melbourne's draft submission and recommends its adoption. The association also wanted to acknowledge all of the work done by the council's officers in this regard, and also for holding a public meeting on the 8th of July, giving the public or the residents the opportunity to be able to respond and ask questions as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your submission. You can sit down now. Are there any questions? You can sit down. Thank you. I now call on John Windmer, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter. John.
I think the opportunity to speak. As a long-term resident of Kensington, I'm old enough, I'm afraid to say, to remember Kensington before there was an elevated road. And it's the acknowledgement of the impact of that elevated road that I wish to speak. That it seems inevitable that we're just at the crossing point of Melbourne, we are just increasing. It's nothing to do with the municipality of Melbourne, it's just the urban area of Melbourne crosses somewhere, and it crosses down through the middle of Kensington. And that noise, air pollution, and the impact on the children who live alongside the road, the census in the latest census shows an increased number of children who live within 500 metres of this elevated road, and there appears to be little or no mitigation. And I ask the council to independently set aside some resources and time to monitor what's going on with that elevated road, because residents cannot find even noise level. This is done privately by the company, and it's very difficult to get any impact change. The new apartments in Bent Street have had a small amount of shielding put up, but it only runs for a couple of hundred metres. I can stand on my front door and see the trucks going by. There are no signs asking the trucks to even stop using their engine brakes. I can drive through Heathcote, the smallest town in the rural parts of Victoria, and see signs. Why is this elevated road not being monitored? And why can't people independently who live within 500 metres of this road, this elevated road, find out what's going on? And the problem is there's been no acknowledgement in any of the meetings that we've attended that the road will increase in volume. There will be more trucks, more vehicles, more heavy vehicles as a result of the tunnel. The curious problem with the, let's just look at noise for a moment, the use of the decibel. Now, the decibel was invented by the Bell Telephone Company for electrical attenuation of telephone systems. So what has it got to do with road noise? Well, the answer is nothing. And I ask that the City of Melbourne, being at the crossroads, further investigate the management and monitoring of the impact of noise. Air pollution I can talk about separately, but noise is one of the really critical matters, and I'd ask for some further support in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Are there any questions for John? Thank you very much. You can sit down. I call on the Lord Mayor to move the motion.
I'm happy to move the motion that's displayed on the screen.
I will second the motion. Would the mover like to speak to the motion?
I would. Look, this motion in good faith puts us into the process with the Inquiry and Advisory Committee. It endorses the submission that our officers have put forward, and I think that's particularly important. And by the way, that endorsement, including the support by more detailed evidence and advice consistent with the submission, goes to the point that John made just then, and I would hope that that is taken into account by officers. And of course, it also is in line with what Fran asked us to do in terms of adopting the submission. we are able through this submission to put a very strong argument to that inquiry, but we've got to remember that that's what this process is. It's an inquiry, it's an EES type inquiry, and following that inquiry and advisory committee and EES, there will be a government response to the findings. And then we have a project, because that's the government decision. This slightly amended motion asks our officers to come back to us with a report following the state government's response, and then council, it is open to council to have a view on the project as a whole. But what this does is say that we will argue this submission and the concerns of this submission to that inquiry. We will await the government response to the inquiry, and then we'll reserve the right to have a whole of council view on the final project as suggested by that. I know there are many elements to it, but I would have to say for us, one of the concerns that's outlined in the submission, and I won't speak to them all, is in particular the impact of the Dynon Road exit. I think that's something of a Rubicon for council. But as I say, we enter this process in good faith. We'll make those arguments. I note that we are giving ourselves a bit of room to do more modelling, more detailed evidence, further independent advice, and therefore we're kind of endorsing something that is yet to be done. But if there's any material departure from the arguments of this submission, I would fully expect our officers to come back to it. If it simply supports what's in the submission, then we will take that into the process and argue it as strongly as we can.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. As a seconder, I'll speak to the motion. A few things, really. First of all, we've only had a month to respond to this, to everybody. This is a huge piece of policy, a big piece of work, and so I really want to acknowledge that it's crossed many, many areas of the council. So staff have had to work extraordinarily hard for a month, and to understand it, to liaise with each other across all the different aspects of council, and then create opportunity to engage and help the community engage with that. That's taken a lot of time and a lot of energy. Thanks, Fran, for your acknowledgement of that work. And I personally really want to acknowledge, the amount of time and energy and commitment the staff have put into actually creating this submission. So thank you for that. I think in terms of, to say just a few things about it, I think first of all, the state government and Transurban are saying they're responding to policy, but it's clear that the policy, the transport policy around this from the state and federal government, state governments and the council, for 15 years has been to say let's keep cars out of the city, and the city has done extraordinarily well at that. We've grown, we've got bigger, the numbers of cars haven't grown. So to actually then use the Eddington strategy, which said, look, let's take cars around the city. Let's understand that we want to get lorries and trucks off suburban streets, but let's get, let's not drop stuff in the city. We're doing the opposite of that. And the reason we're doing that is for Transurban, they need those tolls. They need to have that road used. They need to have people being dropped in the city. That is not public policy. That's Transurban's policy. I think for us, there are major concerns, and the Lord Mayor pointed to one, but I think I'm going to name just a few of them. One of them is, Footscray Road. We've got 12 lanes of traffic already on Footscray Road, and we're going to put another 6 in the air above it. There's no consideration or explanation about why they aren't on the road, what you could do with that space. Is there ways of doing that differently? In between those, in the 6 lanes in the air, there's a veloway in the middle of it, hanging between the roads. That's a veloway that goes for over 2 kilometres, and there are only 2 exit points. So if you want to walk on it or cycle on it, and you get up there and you get on it, it's not easy to get off. It's not a great design or a great use. I think because we're up in the air and we come into the junction, you then got these 2 exits going into the city. And because you've got 2 exits, Wurundjeri Way Extension and Dynon Road, you're having to have them fly over the top of each other. As a consequence of that, they're going over the railway station, so we're going up one level for Wurundjeri Way and then another level for Dynon Road, actually the other way around. but it's taking us, you know, it's creating an extraordinary barrier. And, you know, the future, you know, we've just been listening to what could happen to West Melbourne, and now what we're suggesting is that we take a freeway and we deliver it into West Melbourne, into no major roads. We put a lot of traffic that suddenly is going east-west and is going to slow all the traffic that comes in and out of the city every morning and every evening going north-south. This is really poor transport policy. I think we're underway, and creates that gap now, and that creates a further barrier, more traffic coming in to actually having the city and the Docklands become one. And so again, you know, this is not what we've wanted to do. We've been trying to reduce cars and reduce traffic and create those passageways from Docklands into the rest of the city. So for a lot of reasons, and I support what the Lordmayor said, particularly that, you know, Dynon Road and what it will do to traffic and to that community, I really support our submission, and I'm grateful for the work that's done to create it. Thank you. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak against the motion? Are there any other speakers for the motion? Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Chair. I agree with the mover and the seconder. I think we're looking at a project which will be one of the largest spaghetti junctions in the world on what is actually prime developable land. So the opportunity cost is quite significant. And when you look at the project itself, it seems to be quite confused. Is it trying to achieve commuter outcomes? If that's the case, then obviously Metro 2 and Airport Rail and those sort of investments are much higher on the priority list. In particular, Metro 2 has a lot of support and has a lot of significant outcomes in terms of that commuter traffic coming from the west in particular. If it's about freight, and I think this gets to the key point of the Western Distributor project, and I'll continue to call it the Western Distributor because I think just changing a project name doesn't change the outcome for a project like this if you don't significantly change the actual project itself. And what the Western Distributor will do will distribute traffic into the city. So the name Western Distributor is probably much more apt. But if it's about freight, then we really need to have a much more strategic discussion about the freight solution for Melbourne. Things like inland ports, how much of that freight we actually put on rail, to avoid at-capacity road systems and trucks going through residential areas. The location of the second port, we're still talking about that. And then the other thing about the port too is to have that conversation about Webb Dock and Fisherman's Bend and whether increasing the size of that dock in terms of capacity by 5 times is really going to be... is really going to enable Fisherman's Bend vision to be realised. So there's some really significant questions about freight solutions that are not just related to the Western Distributor. And I guess that gets to the critical issue that at the moment we don't have an integrated transport plan for Victoria and for Melbourne. And that's a pretty glaring omission in terms of the strategic approach to how the city functions, how our economic prosperity going forward is realised, amenity, all sorts of other issues flow from that. I mentioned one type of opportunity cost in terms of developable land. I think that's the most significant opportunity cost, but obviously the other opportunity costs which arise when you're talking about a price tag in the order of $5 billion is that Metro 2 could be built for that cost. But the other projects that are around about that mark are things like Airport Rail, so those commuter solutions which would immediately take pressure off some of our existing road systems and may actually free up road space for more trucks to be able to use them if that's the freight solution going forward. The other thing about sort of the development opportunity cost is obviously E-gate is the critical one, but then we talk about the amount of money that's being invested in the Melbourne Metro Rail project and the whole renewal of the Arden precinct, I have concerns about, you know, a huge spaghetti junction just on the doorstep of the Arden precinct and what that does to the realisation of that project. I agree with the Lord Mayor, one of the biggest sticking points is the Dynon Road exit. You don't have to sort of labour this one, but as our officers have diligently worked through, we're talking about peak hour traffic in the surrounding suburbs of places like North Melbourne, peak hour conditions at 12 to 14 hours a day, just unmanageable. I guess my final point, because this will come back to us as the EES process is worked through, I would acknowledge the huge amount of work as previous speakers have from our officers, but I guess if by 2051, the nagging point for me is that if we're truly planning for a city of 8 million people, really the only direction that we can take in terms of commuters is mass transit, and we really need to have a rethink on how we're dealing with freight in our city.
Thank you. Are there any speakers for the motion?
Thank you, Chair. I thoroughly agree with your comments and the comments of the mover and the Deputy Lord Mayor, and sincerely thank officers for setting out all of the various ways that this project has failed to take consideration of proper policy, proper process, and all of those opportunity costs, as the Deputy Lord Mayor has mentioned. Can I sincerely thank the submitters as well, the Kensington Association's terrific submission, and John's. Anything with both Galileo and Vogons in it is a big tick in my book. On that submission, can I just say that, as you know, John, the CityLink noise issue has been mentioned in various council policies with little traction so far, unfortunately. The Arden Macaulay Structure Plan says that we'll lobby to put sound attenuation on CityLink. We pushed that case hard with the East-West Link EES because, of course, there was going to be another high-rise freeway on the other side of Mooney Ponds Creek there. So that issue came up extensively in the previous instance of us going up to the EES. That was a CIS process, I beg your pardon, and advocating our case. So I'm sure we can dig up all of the policy work that went into our East-West Link submission, and in detail, as the Lord Mayor says, we will be putting together more work for the panel, and this is one of those issues that I'm sure that we can expand on at the panel. So thank you for that submission. We will definitely make the case at panel, I'm sure. Look, the mover and seconder have done an admirable job explaining what's wrong with this project. Can I just add my own support of that position? This is very much a project that's been driven by Transurban rather than state government good policy. The more we learn about it, the more its ramifications are understood, the more of its very serious consequences are understood. The creation of congestion in West Melbourne and North Melbourne in particular, when this is meant to be a, quote, congestion-busting proposal from the state government, is incredibly worrying, and it really does show that this project doesn't have its origins in a good place. We really need the state government to reinstate public transport policy planners inside of government rather than relying on these wholly inadequate private sector suggestions. So I wish our legal team and officers all the best as they prosecute the case on behalf of our constituents and the council at the EES inquiry. And I thoroughly commend the motion.
Are there any other speakers that wish to speak? Yes, Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Chair. Oh, goodness, I've been scrawling notes all over the place. But I guess I'd like to say that I, of course, endorse this the motion on our screen, and in particular, you know, 10.1 endorsing the City of Melbourne submission. It is, as has already been noted many times, an incredible amount of work by many officers, but of course I especially acknowledge Emma and Richard and Sarah and Kate, and obviously I know a lot of people that helped pull it all together, but huge amount of work. Point out it was a crazy amount of time that not only we, but everyone is making a submission. It's to have 30 days to respond to a project of this size with all the complexity and all the issues that have been identified is just ridiculous. I acknowledge the Kensington residents who have made submissions tonight, but I also acknowledge that at our community meeting that we held to make sure that everyone in our community was aware of the project and to have their opportunity to provide their thoughts, that I believe that representatives from all of our residents groups were at that meeting, and their thoughts are captured in the appendix, the attachments to these reports. So I thank them for going along to that meeting and providing their views on the project as well. I mean, this project really does break my heart. It's such a, you know, I grew up in North Melbourne. I live in Kensington. I'm very proud of what the City of Melbourne has been doing with respect to transport policy and urban renewal. To see a project like this come in and ruin, effectively, as it is proposed right now, ruin so much of our great work and people before us and all of the people that we work with in our community, it's really, really, yeah, as I said, breaks my heart. I go along Footscray Road a lot, and I see Docklands a lot, and I see North Melbourne a lot, and to see a vision of that covered in transport, covered in traffic, see elevated spaghetti junctions, ruining the vista, the view, the opportunity for urban renewal is just devastating. The open space that we have been crying out for along Moonee Ponds Creek, it's in our MSS, it's in Arden Macaulay, it's talked about every year, this opportunity for open space around Moonee Ponds Creek, and this is going to destroy that. I mean, the vision that was presented to us from the project team for landscape in that area is just unusable by anyone. You know, maybe some frogs might like it, and that might help some of the, you know, the biodiversity that is also studied and looked at in the EES, but you know, other than that, there's not much use of the space that's proposed currently. The Veloway has been pointed out. You know, I'll be very surprised, I'd be very interested to see Bike Network Victoria's response to the Veloway. They've been out in public support of this project, and which is always, you know, it has surprised me. I'll be interested to see their response to this design, because why would you get on it as a female? I wouldn't ride on a path like that without any off ramps, without any safety considerations whatsoever. I wouldn't. We're trying to increase participation of women riders, and I don't think a design like this is going to get there. Air quality monitoring has been pointed out. I think that, you know, that is one of many areas that has been severely overlooked but has been significantly identified in this submission. And again, I thank officers for their huge amount of work identifying the flaws. I do wish them well, but I don't share the sentiments of a lot of my colleagues that we're going to have anything back that we're going to remotely endorse or like. I think I'd love for Dynon Road to be removed. I'd love for the spaghetti junctions to be removed. I'd love for a whole lot of this project to be removed, but I doubt that that's going to happen. But, you know, this process is about getting the best outcome, if we can, and I look forward, I think, maybe not, to the report coming back to Council as a result of the State Government's response to the EES panel, and we can make more of our views known then. But I don't anticipate much changing.
Are there any other speakers for the motion? Jackie, Councillor Watts.
I just want to express my view that it's entirely regrettable that we've heard so much tonight about how much work the officers have had to do and how much work the community's had to put in to address this completely flawed design, it seems. So many elements of it are so obviously a problem. It's really difficult for me to understand how the government can put this to us at this point in time. So often the community and our officers have to work so hard on trying to improve what's been put up to us. What I think we can say is that this process we're currently involved in is going to give the government an opportunity to hopefully rethink what's going on here, hopefully listen. Like my colleague Councillor Oak, I'm somewhat cynical about the response, but let's hope, ever the optimist, we can but try, and that is what we are trying to do, to put some rigour into the assessment. I can't believe that we're risking the world's most livable city in this way. I can't believe that we don't have the design capability in our city to do a better job than this. You can only understand it in terms of, I suspect, optimism. or let's opportunism rather than policy. We have to be hopeful. We have to imagine that good sense will prevail. And I commend the officers again and the community for putting such good information before the government.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other speakers for the motion? Yes, Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Councillor Francis Gillies. Look, Melbourne needs a better road network. It needs investment to improve that road network, but it needs to be the right investment. We've already lost almost close to a decade, a lost decade, around the East-West Link debacle. And so that's why it makes it so important that before the government embarks on an investment of the scale we're talking here, $5.5 billion, that they get it right. And that's why this City of Melbourne submission is so, so important. So, like other councillors, I want to commend City of Melbourne officers for producing what is a well-researched and considered body of work. It's a 71-page submission. It is probably the most considered submission critiquing the project to date, and it does raise significant concerns about the project, which have been raised by councillors tonight, which I don't propose to go through again. But I do hope that this 70-odd page, well-considered, well-reasoned submission is considered by the EES panel, which I know it will be, but I hope that it is also well-read by government officials, the Cabinet and the Premier.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other speakers for the motion? Would the mover like to reply?
I will, thank you. Just to say that 11 years ago, Rod Eddington provided a report on Melbourne's infrastructure where he argued very cogently that we needed three major elements in our hard infrastructure. We needed a metro rail project, proceeding now. We needed to duplicate the Westgate Bridge, given the growth in the west of the city. And we needed to connect our freeways and roadways as appropriate, either through an east-west or a west-east link. They were the three things you put on the table, not either ors, all were needed. This report, although it does contain some pointed criticisms, also makes the point in conclusion that we do acknowledge that you do need access from Melbourne's west to the city, and we need to overcome that difficulty. That's in our own conclusion. I would just say to councillors, just remember where we are. We actually don't have a project yet. We have a proposal before us. Much as we put out draft proposals and then we take submissions on those and we come back with a considered response. So let's not jump too far ahead of ourselves in that process. The state government has indicated they are prepared to listen, and in that process we should prosecute the arguments that are in this submission plus the additional ones that have been flagged by our officers that might need to be added. I think that councillor concerns tonight are echoing what's in this submission, and I think that they are very well-founded. They are about the city's amenity and the future of the city and the city that generations ahead will inherit, and they are proper concerns to be addressed. So we enter this process in good faith. We enter this process to argue logically and coherently for good city outcomes. And that's our resolution tonight.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. I declare the motion carried. Unanimously. Thank you for your backseat driving. I now call on Deputy Lord Mayor Aaron Wood to assume the role of chair of the meeting in relation to the finance and governance portfolio.
Thank you, Chair. There is one report from management for consideration under the finance and governance portfolio. That's agenda item 6.6, which is proposed travel to City of Sydney, July 2017. I'm assuming we don't need a presentation on this one. You happy to move it? Moved by the Lord Mayor and seconded by Councillor Oak. Lord Mayor.
This is part of the normal exchange that we do. I'm pleased that our councillors will go and look at, in particular, the competitive design processes in planning, but also the creative industry, art support nexus that the City of Sydney has. If we can take any advice or any good practice from any other city, we should be prepared to do it, and Sydney is a natural comparator to our city. I think in my heart of hearts that our Sydney compatriots will learn more from Councillors Rees and Leppert than they learn from their Sydney compatriots, but that's just my belief.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Councillor Oak. Any other speakers to this one? No, if not, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, I declare that carried. Councillor Leeloo, yep, unanimously. I hand back to Lord Mayor Robert Doyle to chair the rest of the meeting.
Thank you. This concludes the reports from management to be considered. There are no items of general business. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, we provide a period at the end of each meeting for the public to ask us questions. Questions should not be greater than 90 seconds. Would anyone like to ask us a question? In that case, can I thank members of the public, management and staff for their interest and attendance, and I declare the meeting closed at 6:35 p.m. Look, I apologise. I didn't see that you wanted to ask a question, but I'm very happy to listen if you would like to ask one.
Thank you, sir. Friends, this time last Friday night, I'm still feeling the cold. I was watching the props being put up at the oldest shop and dwelling in the city of Melbourne at the corner of King and La Trobe Street. My dear wife, Lola, she'd gone out at the company expenses, and I decided to stay behind and see what happened. This was about the same time now as supposed to be. The subject is survival. We've been in this old place for a long, long time. She and her forebears handed out largesse to the travellers, the gold seekers who stopped there on their way to the gold fields. We've kept a little place there, the shop and dwelling, and plan to do so as long as we live. The years is running out. I thought today would be the appropriate time, with your respect and authority, to not make a plead or put my hand out, but to show that there is a little place in this city that needs some sort of support. We've had a lot already. We've had subsidies and underpinnings and all that sort of thing. But the property is unsafe. And as I watch these workers, they all in about 1 degree, they're somewhere in their shorts, three or four of them, and by 11 o'clock, we could say that the building was safe, the danger sign was up, which said, don't come in, but we still went in and we slept, and I still had the fire going upstairs. So the point of my little oration is that we need help of some kind. I'm unwilling to put my hand out and stand out and do an act in the front, which we could do, because we have a little theatre company, and Ellen Lola Russell, the owner, has a book, City Kid. It's all there. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Let me answer for you. Thank you for your submission, George. We are very well aware of this property. We're very proud that it has been maintained by you and yours for the longest period of time. It is an absolute landmark and one of the oldest buildings, of course, in the city. We are aware of the engineering report about the concerns about the wall. We're not in a position yet to tell you whether we can offer financial assistance, but we are examining that along with negotiating on your behalf with state government. And my understanding is, should the requirement be, and I know that would not be optimal for you to move out while rectification works were made. I understand the officers are also looking at some alternatives to provide you with that accommodation that's appropriate while that is done. I can't guarantee all of that to you, but I promise you that all of that is being looked at the City of Melbourne, and following your request to us, I will ask our CEO to follow that as a matter of urgency tomorrow and to communicate with you as soon as we possibly can about what we could do. But rest assured, without promising you that we can provide that financial assistance, we are very sympathetic to your needs. We know you are not putting your hand out to us, but we know also that you have limited means to do the works that may be required to make good one of our historic structures.
We appreciate that very, very much, sir. Thank you.
Once again, I'll thank members of the public and management for their attendance and declare the meeting further closed at 6:40.